scores! And the Boston Kid on nifty night wins it for the Bruins in the shootout, 2-1 over the Islanders.
That's Judd Surratt here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Ryan Donato's shootout goal was the difference in a 2-1 Bruins win at TD Garden. The next game for the Bees at the Garden against Detroit tomorrow night. Patriots welcome Minnesota to Foxborough this Sunday. They had everyone on the field at practice yesterday. The Vikings, though, missing wide receiver Stephon Diggs and Pro Bowl cornerback Xavier Rhodes again. On Thursday night football, Dallas beat New Orleans 13-10, snapping the Saints' 10-game winning streak. Celtics and Cleveland play tonight at TD Garden. Things are a little different than when these two teams last met in May. I'll join Cedric Maxwell for this one. We'll have the pregame at 6:30 and the tip-off at 7 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Jaylen Brown is out tonight with a sore back. Al Horford also out as well after being given a rest day. And the New York Mets are reportedly on the verge of sending Jay Bruce, Anthony Swarzak, and at least two top minor leaguers to Seattle for Robinson Cano, all-star closer Edwin Diaz, and cash. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by Anchor Steam Beer with rich caramel maltness and a fresh hoppy finish. Find Anchor Steam at Wegmans in Burlington, Natick, Westwood, Newton, and Northborough. I'm John Wallach on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
Toucher and Rich are always with you.
That's just gross.
Open the 98.5 The Sports Hub app, and you'll be listening to Boston's Home for Sports. It's just that simple.
Okay, you sold me.
Hi, how are you, honey?
Hello!
This is where Boston talks sports.
I'm overwhelmed.
Toucher and Rich.
You can eat a lot at one sitting.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
I ain't trying to waste this. Took a long time crying. Crying ain't a crime. I got my mom, she passed away. My dad, he ain't alive. Before they murdered Fudge, I crave for more time. Had y'all on my mind all week. I missed the last, they say a better tomorrow. It's the sacrifice, the calf. Keep that cow in the pasture. Knife in the drawer, it's been a long 40 days. It's gonna take 40 more.
I still bust out this album. Yep.
I have it on vinyl, unfortunately, which I don't have the, I don't want to even get up and, I don't have the energy to put it on.
You helped pay for that De La Soul album, right? You're one of the GoFundMe guys?
I did. I GoFundMe, and then they gave me a shirt that was absolutely awful that my daughter refuses to wear in art class. All right. We have, for you, there's a gentleman in Dallas who works for one of the sports talk radio stations.
Reporter extraordinaire.
Just to set this up for it, I'm sorry. We have Burden here in studio. And driving in this morning, I was listening to a little bit of Drew Brees' press conference. And obviously, they got their asses kicked last night. No, I mean, other than the Bankroll Boys, I don't think anybody expected things to go down the way that they did.
The Bankroll Boys nailed it?
They didn't say it was a win, I think. I think that they said that they would not cover. But, yes. I mean, they look pretty genius this morning. However, I was sitting there, Drew Brees not in a good mood, and I heard music to my ears.
On the sunny side, despite tonight not being the Barrys, you have to believe that your Crescent City Buttermen are all set to make a great run at another ice-covered Roscoe, just like the Bulldog Boys from Cantontown.
I have no idea what that means.
About ready to make another run at a big title, sir.
Okay, well, we're just focusing on one game at a time. This one wasn't a great day for us. So we got a lot of work to do when we get back after this weekend.
That is a gentleman by the name of Scoops Callahan.
Wait, so is he at the press conference?
Yeah, he goes to all these press conferences. The best thing
about
Scoops...
way better than even being in the locker room.
No, it's the greatest. So Scoops Callahan is a character that our friends at The Ticket down in Dallas have. And he's just a guy who works there. And only about once every 7 or 8 months, he'll show up. And that way... he doesn't get kicked out. He still gets to keep his credential. He doesn't get kicked out because
he's a normal reporter sometimes.
Yeah. So if he just does this every once
in
a while.
There's no telling when it's coming.
There's no telling when Scoops Callahan is a reporter that reports as if he's from the 1920s. And he has just over the years created the best archive of making athletes, coaches uncomfortable. And it really says something about these athletes to hear how they react. Like, to when Scoop shows up. And you can tell who the jackasses are and who the people with a sense of humor are. Shall we go to Bill Belichick? Right, let's go back in the Wayback Machine.
I'm 2007.
Yeah, 2007. Let's go back to 2007, shall we? Let's see.
Jam, talk about your B-Town offense in the second half. They treated the boys from Big D like a couple of flapper girls who were a little loopy on the old gin and juice.
Next.
Hey, Bill.
By the way, he always starts interviews, champ, 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 like in the movies, yeah. Champ.
He should have been there for the retiring of Middleton's number. Old nifty Middleton.
You have Brady in there?
Oh, yeah. Let's hear Brady.
Champ, talk about the long touchdown pass to Dante Stallworth. It looked like you two were doing the jitterbug while the Dallas secondary was doing the Charleston.
Is that right? I don't know what the hell that means, but it was a great route, and it's easy to throw it when he's that wide open.
Tom, you
great
had question.
Well, he was nicer to him than he was to you.
Oh, yeah. He's asked me if I was on drugs.
Yeah. He just asked you straight up if you were on drugs.
But I thought that was kind of funny. It showed he had a sense of humor asking if I was on drugs.
Well, I don't think he meant it that way.
Yeah. And there's some people who have a good sense of humor about it. There's some people who don't. Sidney Crosby ended up being in town at one point, and Sidney Crosby, not quite sure how to deal with it.
Champ, Sidney, all the joys are calling you the golden boy at the new NHL. How do you like being the cat's meow of all things stick and puck?
I can't answer that one serious.
He said I'm only going to answer a serious question.
Who wouldn't laugh?
I know. Who would just go, excuse me?
Like, why would
I like how on that one, he was called on, you over there, champ.
After he was called, he did the wave in the air.
Like, wouldn't that be a nice release from, like, having to, like, go through the same questions?
Oh, without a doubt.
I mean, you don't even have to answer them. I mean, you could just, like, chuckle. God, these guys take themselves so seriously.
Oh, without a doubt. And then there's some people who I just think are too dumb to understand what's going on. Take it away, Eli Manning.
We got our hands full, and we got to get back to playing better football.
Champ, the game was a bare-knuckle brawl all night long, just like Dempsey and Tunney back in 26. Did you expect the boys from Big D to ratchet up the pressure and make you do the Lindy Hop back there all game long?
We knew it was going to be a tough battle. We knew they were going to play well. The Pals on defense, they've been playing excellent these last couple weeks.
God bless Ole Miss.
That's great.
He's just like sitting there, like, okay, it's a question about the game. I'll answer the question about the game.
He probably just has everything.
Just a total robot. Yeah, sure.
All right, yeah. Like, that means he's not listening to anything.
Yeah. No, nothing. Yeah. It's just going in one giant ear and out the other.
I don't even think it's stupidity. I just think it's
like autopilot.
Autopilot. Like, I got to do this and I want to get it done.
Now, his brother, however, he doesn't suffer fools. All right? So, how much of a dick does Mr. Peyton Manning sound like here?
Use it down the road to help us.
Last question.
Champ, you've been playing like the elephant's eyebrows here for almost a full calendar year.
Remember Scott last time.
For almost a full calendar year.
If he starts me again, I'm going to cut him off and go to one more question. So.
Did the sun bother you?
He says if he talks again, I'm going to cut him off and say no more questions.
Why would you even want to answer another question? Like, isn't that like your dream?
Yeah.
And like, Mr. Saturday Night Live. Right. Mr. like goofy commercial.
Oh, sure. Now, then you got Beckham coming into town. Mr. David Beckham, who, you know, obviously, I don't even know if he knows what this guy's referencing here. Let's see.
It doesn't seem to affect me, so I'm quite lucky on that side.
Okay, we'll take our last question, sir. Hold on.
Sir. The LA question.
Sir.
Now that you've made LA your home, are there any gin joints or speakeasies that you like to frequent? You and Victoria go over there and cut a rug.
Any what?
Gin joints, speakeasies.
What is that? I'm sorry. Oh, no, we've been to a few restaurants, which is nice.
We'll take our last question. Steve Davis.
No problem.
Oh, man.
See, Beckham sounded okay there.
Beckham's great. Beckham laughed. Like, Beckham gets it. He's like, all right, well, that's kind of funny.
That's why Beckham is as wealthy as he is.
Pretty much. Greg Popovich, he's not a man with a great sense of humor.
Oh, man.
Let's hear what he had to say.
Champ, tell me about your fiery Francophile, the Parisian torpedo, Tony Parker. Can he continue to be your main butter and egg man and still croak the boys from Big D?
Am I being punked or something? Or what?
The main butter and egg man. I wonder if this guy just Googled 1920s terms.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you don't come up with that stuff off the top of your head.
No, he is a grandfather that he talks to often and still speaks like that. How the hell do you think that he gets? Like, I just know this really old guy that speaks like an old reporter from the 20s.
Alexander Ovechkin, what do you have to say?
Champ, that was quite the Lollapalooza out there tonight.
You have to say everything is still Jake with you Capital City boys. Do you think you can still keep it going here in this age of ballyhoo?
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. We're going to see.
Thank you, Jake.
Thank you, Jay. I appreciate it.
How old is this guy?
He's probably like 40-something.
Oh, okay.
He's been doing it for like 10 years.
Younger.
He's been doing it. Like, when I was there, he was doing it. When you were
oh,
there?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess he's been doing it for a while now.
A long time.
I mean, and the best is, like, sometimes he'll get passes. This was one of my favorites. And this made it all over, like, the NBA on TNT and stuff. So Phil Jackson, with his last game as a coach, and everyone knew it was going to be his last game, he sat down, and it happened, I guess, to be against Dallas, or was in Dallas. So he's sitting down and he's answering this, and it's basically a stroke fest. Like, you know, you're the best, Phil, you know, saying
what
goodbye.
What makes you so great?
Yeah, right. And so this is literally Phil Jackson's final question that he ever took as a head coach. Taking away his scoops.
Let's come back and win championships.
But champ, being a Hall of Famer like the legendary Barney Mighty Mike Cedrin and having more rings than Douglas Fairbanks, even as Oscars, you have to ultimately take a lot of pride in knowing that you and your cage of career were nothing but the bee's knees.
Amen. Thank you very much.
Man meditates. The man meditates. The man is.
It's his career.
The man is Zen. That's the only way to react. All right. Well, suffice it to say, we wish we would have come up with that.
All right, he's my absolute favorite. And the thing is, too, is like, there have been people who've gotten pissed, and I've heard that there's been a team or two that just had no sense of humor and, like, talked to the ticket about taking his credential away. And then I would just say, why? He just asked him. He wasn't being disrespectful. He wasn't, like, saying anything.
I think if you're an athlete or a team, like, wouldn't you like this is, like, distracting from, like, the question
that's exactly,
you don't want to answer.
Yeah, that's exactly my point. Yeah. Like, why would, if it's the last, with Peyton Manning in particular, if it's the last question, why wouldn't you just go, oh, man, and then just go, like, all right, guys, have a good night. Yeah.
Right, right.
Like, why would you go, I'm going to cut you off and I'm going to answer. Why would you want to answer another question, stupid? All right, Bert, thank you so much for the time.
Thanks, guys.
Mr. Joe Haggerty, he of the Twitter fight with Dale Arnold, is going to join us.
Do I need to look something up?
There's a nice back and forth between Dale Arnold. By the way, Joe Haggerty, it was Dale Arnold that picked the fight. And Joe Haggerty won by TKO.
Joe just said Dale Arnold in like a jersey last night that were interesting.
He was wearing the nifty jersey. He turned around, you know, during the intermission interview where they had Middleton on there.
So emotional.
John, that was a nice face. John loves Dale Arnold.
They're making that. They were pushing that ceremony like nobody's business. That big ceremony. They tried to make that thing into something and failed. All right. We will be back.
Champ, talk about your B-Town offense in the second half. They treated the boys from Big D like a couple of flapper girls who were a little loopy on the old gin and juice.
Next.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's like this. So fly.
Well, this had to be up your alley.
It wasn't. It really wasn't.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know?
Who is this?
I don't even know.
I don't even know.
Domino. Okay, now that is a name that I remember when I worked at Turtles Records and Tapes.
I think if you had this, you pretty much had the whole Domino collection. Did you ever like Poison Ivy?
No.
Poison Ivy.
Nope.
But now listening to this, this would have been right up your alley.
Yes, it would have been.
All right.
So can we go straight up New Jack for the rest of the show just so Wallach can get in a good mood?
I'm all for it.
No,
all
right. You got to play Eric B. and Rakim if you want him in a good mood.
Nah, that's true.
I mean, that's when Dan always looks at me. He's like, and he'll look at me and go, look at Wallach. Like, off air. And then he'll play it. And then Wallach always just starts bouncing. Yeah. Joe Haggerty, who we haven't had on in a long time. Joe Haggerty from NBC Sports Boston. He covers the Bruins. A nasty Twitter war.
Yep.
With Dale Arnold, sir.
as nasty as Ned Flanders gets anyway, I guess.
I have to be honest. I mean, you won. I mean, easily. It started off with Hag saying a goal on a shot that hit off Halak's glove and then went into the net. First NHL goal for him. And Dale Arnold somehow found your Twitter and said, not Halak's glove, John Moore's leg. And you replied with, thanks, Ned Flanders. And to that, Dale Arnold responded with, would you prefer to be wrong again?
And then you responded to him with, I'd prefer that you go icky balooky, which I don't know what that means.
No, I told you what that means.
I didn't know either.
It's some stupid-ass phrase that he said in the game, like I think during his call of a Patriots game. Everybody was going icky balooky, and it stuck with him forever.
Yeah, that's douche chillish.
And then he responded to you with that by saying, not a good goal allowed by Halak in quotes. I guess you got me. And you responded, Oakley Doakley neighbor.
that was the conversation stopper right there. Yeah. That's where it all transmissions ended.
Well, when I was sabotaged by Dale when I went out to dinner for Billy Jaffe's birthday when he first moved here, and Dale was at the table, and it was exceptionally uncomfortable, but he was a fine man that evening. But I will say, and I did tell him to his face, that the picture he took with his family in front of the Eiffel Tower with Bruins shirts on was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. I did say that. But
I'm still convinced that like the new promo stuff they do for his show, like if you've seen it, it looks mega photoshopped, and it looks like they put Dale's head on top of like a 25-year-old man's body. I don't know what's going on over there.
Maybe he's lost a lot of weight.
Well, he has, but this did not look like Dale. I think there's some funny stuff going on with their promo photo.
All right, well, I don't know about that, but what I do know is that Dale took a picture that Bert showed me and put it up there on Twitter with him and Rick Middleton. He goes, one guy got his number retired tonight. The other guy is just a big fan.
Yeah, wearing a jersey.
Yeah.
On television. Good for you, buddy.
Yeah, all right. There's a lot of animosity between these two. Wow. And I can't say that I'm not enjoying it.
We're wondering, is there an origin to this? Like, was there a moment that he said something to you or what that made this animosity begin?
No, I think he's just generally unlikable, but, you know, that's just me.
Well, I got to say I'm loving this.
Well, yeah. Wallach not a fan.
I'm loving this conversation.
Wallach worked with him, so Wallach knows exactly what I'm talking about.
He's been nothing but nice to me when I've met him, but I'll take Wallach's word for it.
I mean, what are you going to do when you meet someone?
Well, you know, you're going to have a dance-off.
I mean,
to settle things like real men.
What are you going to do with Dale Arnold? What are you going to tell him to go screw? What are you going to fight him?
Sure, why not?
Like, he's a guy
like
with
the beat it video,
like,
you know?
The only thing with him that I think he's corny. I mean, there's nothing. Like, I wouldn't have trouble seeing him again. I mean, like, yeah, like, you're corny.
Yeah, and he doesn't like Sarge calls.
Oh, no. Not some of those gladly. No,
throw that out there. Did he get a Sarge call there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, again, we'll get into this later, but focus on other stations with these Sarge calls, as much as we appreciate it.
Right, absolutely.
Focus on other stations, because it does us no good if it's here.
So, okay, last night, was it weird? The whole Middleton number retiring thing, just why now? And the fact that it was so early and there weren't like a ton of people there. I liked when Don Cherry spoke. We talked about the actual event itself and it seemed like nice, but why did they wait till now to do this?
Yeah, because I guess, you know, at this point, Cam is in charge and he's been in charge for a while now. And I think, you know, he was one of the big influences in making this happen. And I think, you know, previous administrations, I don't know that it was, you know, a priority or it was something that was going to happen. And it's obviously took a while, and these things take time to go through the sort of machinations to make it happen. And, you know, it finally did last night. But, I mean, 64 years old, he hasn't played since 1988, so it has been an awfully long time. And it's a little different to have a number retired sort of this late in the game. But, you know, all of that being said, and I do agree that, you know, the building was not close to full when the thing started. It started filling up as it went on. And, you know, the Don Cherry thing was really fun. Him saying he had to introduce him to the goalie at the end of the season, basically saying he plays no defense when he first got there, and all that stuff was fun. But, you know, it was a little different because it was a little later on. Usually you see this 5 to 10 years after a guy retires. But, you know, part of it, he's absolutely deserving. You look at the numbers, he was a dominant player from 79 to 84. You know, the career numbers are fantastic when you stack them up against other Bruins. He was a great Bruin.
Yeah, we have no problem with his getting his number retired.
It's just weird that it happened now.
And it was incredibly anticlimactic.
But my point is that I think part of doing it now, too, is to try to get the ball rolling, I think, for him to maybe get in the Hockey Hall of Fame, too, which I think has been a long time coming and I think is deserved as well. And, you know, maybe part of the thinking is if we retire his number now and put him up with the other greats, maybe that'll, you know, put a boot to the ass of the people in the Hockey Hall of Fame to get them to do something that's deserved and put them in the Hockey Hall as well. Because I think he deserves to be there also. So, you know, maybe that was part of it as well. But your point about it probably should have happened a long time ago, I think, is absolutely right.
All right, so back to the Bruins. McAvoy has been skating, and McAvoy has been traveling with the team. And if you talk to Cassidy, he says that he seems to be in good spirits. And all of this, is the team frustrated that McAvoy is not back out there practicing in full practice? And when is this going to reach a point where they start airing their grievances publicly?
Well, they're going to have a full practice today, and he skated with the team at morning skate yesterday. So, and that was the first time he'd done that in a long time. So the next step is skating in a full practice, which he may do as soon as today. I think there was allusions to that yesterday when Cassidy talked to us. So, you know, we'll see what happens when he's on the ice today. I think if he's on the ice today, it's a great sign, and it's, you know, their turn is going to come sooner rather than later. It's frustration. I think that's a dicey thing to say when it's a concussion. You know, if a guy is coming back from a knee injury, if a guy's coming back from a shoulder, something else where there's a finite timetable for somebody to return,
I think you see the
frustration a lot higher.
No, I understand that it's up to the player, and there, by any measure, there's no. I can't climb into McAvoy's head. I don't know the guy, and I know that there's no way the team can like nudge him into playing with a head injury. But do you believe that there's people in the organization that are like, all right, dude, like you've been out a long time. You're traveling. You're skating. Let's go.
I have not talked to anybody who said that. I know the feeling was at this point, Fred, that it was up to him to say, I'm ready to go.
And they were
waiting for that.
Right.
That certainly is what was going on at the end. Is they're waiting for the, I feel great. I want to get back on the ice. Everything is good. I'm a go. And that's the one thing that was left, you know, above and beyond everything else. He'd been skating for a little while. Everything else seemed good. So, you know, could one or two people have felt frustrated about that? Maybe. I certainly didn't hear that. I'm not going to say, I heard they definitely weren't frustrated either. But, you know, as I said, with concussions, I think there's a real trepidation to pushing a guy back early, to you know, getting them on the ice before they're ready and all that stuff. And on top of that, with McAvoy, the whole thing is still weird about when he suffered the concussion. They don't know exactly when. You know, they said he didn't feel good in camp, and then, you know, he started getting concussion symptoms again after that game in Edmonton, October 18th. But they seemed like they couldn't really pinpoint exactly when it happened, and maybe it happened before and it had been bugging him the whole time. So I think the fact that they couldn't really nail down exactly what happened, it seemed kind of unconventional from beginning to end with the concussion symptoms, was a red flag. And I think that is also part of the reason why you exhibit some caution and you take a little extra time with a player like that, a young guy, that you don't want to start having chronic concussion issues or, you know, having problems coming back if he does have another one down the stretch. Now,
why don't you kiss his ass a little more?
But all that being said, Fred, he also has missed a lot of time with a bunch of different injuries, and it's starting to get to the point now where he needs to get on the ice. He needs to play for a long stretch. He needs to help the team when they're obviously missing all these guys. And he needs to start putting up numbers for his own personal well-being. His contract is up after this year. And, you know, if he doesn't come back and he's not an absolute game-breaking world beater, number one defenseman type for the rest of the season, he's probably going to cost himself a lot of money in that second contract. So, you know, I think there's a lot of motivation for him to get back on the ice and to do it as well. And I think he has to at this point, given the knee, given the heart issues last year, given the concussion now, given the things where he's missed time. You don't want to start getting that label that you're injury prone or stuff happens to you all the time and you can't play a full 82 games or close to it. And, you know, through the first couple of years, we've seen him miss big buckets of time, and that's not exactly great for him.
All right. Well, listen, Joe Haggerty, we look forward to having you on more as the other sports, the football starts dying down a little bit. But
are you going to start talking hockey more, Freddie T? I love it.
I will, as long as you keep picking fights with media members on Twitter. I'm
not backing down on air. I enjoy it.
I got to get into a fight with somebody every week. Is that what's happening, though?
No, sure. You don't have to do anything.
When are you going after Dupes?
No, I like Dupes.
I do, too.
Dupes is a good man.
I like him. I don't want to get everyone's animosity towards that guy.
I like him a lot. I think he's a good writer.
I don't know why everyone's like obsessed with hating the Globe. All right. Go ahead.
You know, Kevin takes, you know, controversial takes on things sometimes. I think the fact that he hates fighting now and he's very anti-fighting gets a lot of traditional Bruins fans up in arms. That for sure, I would say.
All right. Well, always a pleasure, and look forward to talking to you more.
You sound like it, Fred. All right.
What the hell do you want out of me?
Say it nicer, Fred.
Sounds like a throwaway.
Say it with more enthusiasm.
Shut up, Haggerty. You're been hung up on. All right, Stephanie. Let's have one of those arguments. All right. We have something to talk about, but I want to talk about it in a certain way because it's starting to piss off a friend of mine. So I wanted this to be a lesson, not ironically, not with a wink, but I'm very good friends with Hardy, and he's getting annoyed, and last thing I want to do is piss off Hardy or hurt any show on this station. But I thought the reaction to something that we didn't encourage by someone was like just mean. Like, for no reason, really. I could see frustration and see being, like, pissed at us for this whole thing happening. But I certainly don't like these calls on the station. I don't. They're not nearly as funny as when you call someone who doesn't know what's going on.
I thought they were funny yesterday.
I thought they were funny, too. But then, like, at the fourth one, I was like, hey. Like, I just don't think. It's unfair to them. To have, it really is.
But there was an easy way to handle
it. Right, and I want to get into that.
We will get into that.
But I'm not saying this with a wink. I don't think the calls are, it's going to burn out, guys. Here's the thing, is if you keep calling the midday show, it's going to just get to the point where it's not funny anymore.
Well, with them, they've gotten so angry that it's like you can't make them any more angry. You can't.
Right. So, however, and I don't want to hurt a show here at the station, and there's a million ways to make it funny.
But I know why they did it, because the way that the reaction yesterday just said, all right, man, cool.
Right. There's a way to handle things. And I'm not joking. We'll discuss.
And then there's shots across the bow at us.
Yeah.
By the other show. But,
like, about how our show sucks. Like, we've never said anything about their show. I like their show. So I don't know why it goes from you're getting prank calls from listeners of ours and yours into our show sucks. Like, that's the thing that I didn't like. I'm not mad about it, but I think it's worth discussing and putting an end to it. Because, I don't like the call. I thought, I was in my car, I laughed out loud at the first two calls, and then I was like, okay, that's enough. Like, let's focus on other shows. Because the whole reason for the Sarge cycle is to disrupt a show.
Yep.
And it's not as funny if you disrupt a show on this station. I mean, it's not. I mean, if that happened again today, would you think it was funny?
If it happened again today, no. Because we've heard them react about as extreme as you can react. And we'll play it.
And if it's pissing off Hardy, who has been in radio all this time, and he says it hasn't yet, but if it's pissing off Hardy, that's like...
Is it pissing off Hardy?
Yeah, it's starting. I texted with him yesterday, and I think that he's getting a little annoyed by it. And if he's getting annoyed by it, I don't want it to happen anymore. And Hardy, no one dislikes Hardy. Hardy's in. I mean, he didn't get mad.
Is he annoyed by the callers or annoyed by the way his show is reacting to the
callers? He's annoyed by the callers. Okay. It's getting to a point where he's starting to get annoyed, which I think he has every reason to be. Because I don't think that if it happens again on their show, it's not going to be funny. It's just going to be the same thing. There's a million radio shows to do it to, and we appreciate it, and we'll play all of them. But we'll get further. You're looking at me like I'm out of my mind.
No. I don't like the way I thought it was really funny yesterday. I did. And you know what? In honesty, Zolak asked for it, and the way they reacted.
We never told them to call. And now I'm specifically saying don't call.
Yeah. We did it before, anymore. Too. Like, we called off the dogs on our station.
Well,
like,
we didn't set up the dogs.
That's right. Well, we called them off. We said, please, guys, I know you're
And not with a wink. This was like.
No, we did. Right. We've said that.
Right.
And that's what happened yesterday.
And John from Vegas wrote a very funny email that Hardy didn't think was funny. I did.
Fred and I were both like
I didn't see laughing. This. Does it make any sense?
No.
Oh boy.
I mean, it makes no sense.
All right, we will get to it.
I think
after
John
this.
In Vegas is very funny. I just think he's wasting his talent.
We've talked enough. Let's play it when we get back.
All right, we'll be back. Here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
John is in Vegas, K-Don Radio. What's up, John? How are you?
Hi, Sean, Mr. Hannity.
Yes,
sir.
Very
excited to talk to you. I know there's a lot of important stuff going on in the country, so I'm going to try to be quick. I'm a huge fan.
Thank you.
But I was not as big of a fan as my great-grandfather was.
Wow.
He passed away last week.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's painful.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't think I'd get emotional. But, okay, so he was a World War II vet, and he listened to your show pretty much every single day.
Wow. Wow.
His name, he was Sergeant Mike Riley of the United States Army.
Yes, sir.
Everyone just knew him as Sarge. That's what I called him. He loved the show. He was always afraid to call in. He was worried he'd be terrible on the radio.
He
probably would have stumbled and been awkward. He was not cut out for radio. But anyways,
let me tell you about these guys.
All right, 985 the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. That is the brilliant John from Vegas. He got through to Feinbaum. He got on Francesa. He got on Hannity.
He's done the Sarge cycle on WEEI.
Yeah, WEEI is a good place to do it. But yesterday, I was in my car and I was listening to Zolak and Bertrand like I normally do. And I heard the first couple phone calls that went into Bertrand and Zolak and Bertrand. And I laughed.
Let's set up why they did it, because we, what happened was apparently Sarge, because Beetle always gets upset. So Beetle just said, all we want you to, or he got an email that apparently he sent everyone, John from Vegas.
Which I thought was funny.
Which was really funny. And I almost think we should read it, but
I'm not going to read
it. It basically said, we have declared war on your show, and that all we want for you to stop it and to call off the Sarge Council is for you to just admit that Sarge sucks on the radio. Just say that Sarge sucks and we'll call off the dogs. So apparently, now no one knew when this was going to happen. And then yesterday at 10 o'clock, I guess like every call they got, like John from Vegas got a crew of like a dozen people. And every call they got was somebody saying Sarge sucks in the middle of it. And this happened about three calls in.
Okay, so is this all him?
Yeah, well, it's the ending of one of the calls into what Bertrand says.
Okay, so here's the deal. I want to say this beforehand. The calls to our own radio show, if you keep doing those, this whole bit's going to burn out if it hasn't already. So shoot from the stars, ladies and gentlemen. Try to get a cycle on another station. John, I find you exceptionally funny. I think that you're a great supporter of the show. We'd like to have you in studio sometime. But it's like enough, and it's Hardy's a good friend of mine, and I think it's annoying him.
You see, I love it, and here's why, it was funny, and why they're going to continue to do it is because Beetle's handling it all wrong.
He's like Margaret Dumont in the Marx Brothers movies. Like he's like the
all right, 1920s guy.
Well, it's the best I can explain it. She was like the foil to the other guy.
The one who, because all he would need to do is just kind of go, all right, yeah, okay, Sarge sucks. You win. You
but
got.
I
me,
will. Then, I promised Hardy that we will not play another phone call that's to their show because it's unfair. I mean, if it's ruining their show, that's the last of my intentions.
Sure. And we did not tell them to call their show.
We did not tell them to call the show. And I thought the email was funny, and I think all that's funny, but I'm saying, no matter who in this room protests me, we are not playing any more calls that are at this station.
But that's not what this is about. This is about, Fred and I had the same reaction to how Beetle reacted to this.
Yeah, and I told Hardy, I had a perfect, and Hardy's like, you know, you might want to stop this before people start getting really pissed. And I said, I agree.
So he did say that. So he talked to you. Hardy did talk to you about that.
I texted him. Okay. I texted with him. And I'm like, Beetle's steamed. And he's like, yeah, I don't think he's that pissed, which I completely don't believe. And then I agree. Like, if it becomes a hassle and you feel like it's hurting your show, which relies on phone calls, I completely agree. And I truly mean not with a wink. I don't think that you should call any shows on this station anymore because it's going to burn out the bit. And also, it's going to... you are so unhelpful.
Because I'm getting these tweets saying the council will not relent. You cannot call off the dogs. It's too late. They were warned.
No, stop. I'm telling you, we're not going to play them. This is it. This is the last time, and we're not playing a phone call. This is the last
time. If it's for this station.
This station. No, God, if you get on another place and it's funny.
I'm all in.
Oh, we'll play it 55 times a day. No, I think you are all very clever, but it's going to burn out. Like we tend to burn things out very quickly on this show. So we're being very careful with Mark Jamelli because he's such a treasure, not to overdo it. But I'm not saying with a wink or anything. We will not play your calls to any show on this station. That said, Bertrand was just like a dick. Like,
I understand getting frustrated, and I feel your pain.
But we shouldn't be the object of your frustration.
No, I understand, but we encourage these guys to do this stuff.
But we've said don't call the show.
I understand being like, all right, guys, like Fred and Rich, like this is enough. And I understand being frustrated. But, I mean, we never took shots at, like, the quality of your show. It's just that these guys, which we are never going to play again.
Let's hear what.
Well, I'm setting this up. Okay. So I can tell you, A, I discussed it with Hardy and agreed that we would not play the calls anymore. Yeah. B, that I understand why they'd be frustrated. I think it's very important to get that out there because then it's going to look like we're whining. I understand where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. That said, Bertrand is egging this thing on. And also, it's just being a dick about our show. So here we go. I understand the frustration. Here we go.
So. I'm watching. So
no, that's what we got now. That's what we got to deal with.
All right. So Zoe's laughing.
Okay, because that guy called in. That was my favorite call. Yeah, that was in just way.
I laughed out loud.
He's like, "Hello,
happened.
Jeff from so and so," and he just goes, Sarge. And then he goes, sup, Sarge.
All right, so I laughed at that one.
Sucks.
But then it got to be a lot. And apparently, like, the John from Vegas was calling an awful lot.
Oh.
Which is not fair to them.
Yeah.
So, but here's the thing. I mean, that did make me laugh out loud.
John from Vegas just tweeted me and said, they need to say Sarge sucks and it ends.
It just end it. We're not playing it. Just don't do it anymore. Hardy's a good friend of mine. I don't want you to do it anymore. And I'm not telling you not to do it, so you do it. It's much funnier if it's on another show. And Hardy and I, another station. And Hardy and I agree on that. I think it's much funnier. But tell me, you didn't hear this, did you, John?
No, all four SARS calls in the first hour, I did. I heard all of them.
Okay, tell me about Bertrand's reaction.
He was not happy, and he's not faking it. And I don't care what Hardy tells you. I've not talked to Mark personally, but reading between the lines, he's pissed.
All right, here we go.
So. I'm watching. So
no, that's what we got now. That's what we got to deal with.
I like the sup. So
that's what TNR wants for the station. Yeah. So congratulations.
We'll have to get a company email.
You're getting it, guys. Now you can have.
We're going to have to get a company email.
You can do like two segments in the 6 a.m. hour tomorrow, and then you can record them and play them back like at 7:20, 8:20, 9:20.
Yeah.
So he's saying we repeat bits too much. He's saying that the humor on our show is not good. He's being a dick. That's it. Like, all right, dude, you're upset. You know, text us. Say something. Oh, this is what they want to do. This is the show. How about you handle it differently? I mean, you just handle it differently. Ignore it. I understand your frustration.
If this was supposed to sway me away from them calling their show, it's not doing a very good job.
I don't want to, we're never playing a call. I promised Hardy. We're never playing a call to their show again. Okay. It's going to burn it. I know that you love this. But
No. I'm just hearing this, and he's ripping on us now.
But he's ripping on our show, and it's like, we never said anything about your show. See, that's where the line is drawn, in my opinion, is that you can rip on me being fat. And I mean, people make fun of me for everything under the sun. Don't make fun of the quality of my show. That's it. Don't you do that, because I won't do that to you. I think that that's way out of line, and way, way, way more out of line than taking stupid Sarge calls. Which I admit to you would be annoying. But I mean, you're going to attack the show now? Is that what you want it to be? So we can be stupid guys? We can create this animosity at the station? I'm doing my part.
That's perfect. You got a quarter of your show done.
Did they already
stuff.
Do Will Brinson this week?
We've already got two of them today.
Now, just Zoe's popping in like, okay, well, who do you have? Like, we have Will Brinson on. We think he's funny and good. What are you saying? We play Will Brinson? Like, I don't know. I don't trust so. Hardy's the one that I like. Hardy's the one that I don't want to make Hardy upset. That's all. I mean, Zoe, by the way, you've said 5,000 times that you want them to call in. Again, I understand the frustration. I thought it was too much. But you don't have to attack our show. You're attacking us having Will Brinson on? Who do you have on that's so great? Like, what do you want? Not to have Will Brinson on? You know what that sounds very similar to is the way that we were attacked across the street. So you're just going to start attacking us like they did across the street?
It worked out well for them.
Yeah, that's a good road to go down. I mean, I don't like this at all. I'm not talking to him after the show. I don't like this.
Okay. So that, I mean, that in and of itself is a segment.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah. It's three.
It's all right. That's three. That's like, that's definitely a
when
segment.
Does lose it? When does Beetle lose it today?
Oh, hey. Just taking the lead of our morning show, you know? Just taking the lead in and just.
What are
just here, well, just here to fill the hours in the middle of the day.
Yeah, we'll just fill the hours during the middle of the day. Good film.
I don't like that. That is
no,
not,
he's being a dick. You're lucky Hardy's on that show.
Mark Jamelli, what do you think?
You are a dick. You.
We're never going to play another call to your show. I don't think it's funny. I think it's counterintuitive for you to do it because it burns the thing out and it's not funny anymore. So I'm telling you, in all seriousness, you will never hear another phone call to their station involving any of that crap. And I understand the frustration that he has. And I don't want it to hurt their show in any way, shape, or form. But you're using words that were attacking us from across the street. And for that, you can go F yourself, like everyone else that did it over there. Now that I hear it a second time, it's like you're mimicking what people said about us across the street.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's your tactic to try to take us down like we're a competitive show, I mean, the thing with Sarge is frustrating, but it's also in good fun. And I'm on your side. I don't want it anymore for numerous reasons. I think it kills the bit. But, I mean, you're taking talking points. You too, Zoe. You're taking talking points. Will Brinson is a direct reference. When you were over listening to the other show and you know, calling everyone on the other show all the time and getting all your little information, that's a direct thing. That came into your head because you remembered that was a way that we have crappy guests on. And that was exactly what you thought. So again, we're never going to play another phone call to your show. As far as I'm concerned, it's over. There's no crossovers anymore. None. And I like Hardy. Hardy can do a crossover. And I'm sure, don't take the crossover away. Fine. No crossover. Just like Felger and Maz don't do a crossover with you. I hear that a second time. That pisses me off. So you won. We're never going to play it again. And have fun. Attack us any way you want. Attack us how we replay too many bits, how we're not funny, our style of comedy's not funny, and good. Maybe they can bring another show to lead into you. I think we've done a pretty good job being a good lead-in for you. And I think that we've been very nice. And I think that we've tried to keep an air of camaraderie at this radio station. And then because some people called and said, Sarge sucks to your show, now it's a vicious attack on us. Good. Have fun.